Now there came a day when Christiana came unto Mercy, who was then heavy with child, and perceived that there was a great sadness come upon her.
Mercy, pray tell, why is thy face long and cast down?
Because there is a longing in my heart, which I can neither put away nor satisfy. Therefore am I so low in fear that it shall cause me to miscarry.
Mercy, there is no good thing that the Lord of the Hill will withhold from them that serve him. What is thy desire?
My heart's desire is to possess the looking glass that hangs up in the dining room.
I will mention this to the shepherds, and they will not deny thy desire. But why art thou afraid to ask?
I am ashamed to have these good men know that I longed for it.
Nay, my daughter, it is no shame, but rather a virtue to long for such a thing as that.
Oh, do you think so?
Aye.
Then, mother, if you please, ask the shepherds if they might be willing to sell it, for I am caught in a hard place and cannot escape.
I shall ask for thee. I am sure the shepherds will not deny thee.
Now the glass that Mercy was so taken with was one of a thousand. Looking into it straight on, it will perfectly reflect your features. Yea, it will even reveal the hidden thoughts of the heart. Looking into it from another angle would show you the very face and similitude of the Prince of Pilgrims himself. Yea, I have talked with them that have used said looking glass, and they say that they have seen the very crown of thorns upon his head, and the wounds in his hands, his feet, and his side, whence now shineth forth his glory. 'Tis further said that by looking from various and sundry angles, one can see him in his life or his death, in his humiliation or his exaltation, in heaven or on earth, coming to suffer or coming to reign. All who gaze into this glass for any length of time become possessed with a burning desire to be like him, for they see him as he is. Now this is the glass for which Mercy did long.
Dear sirs?
Yes, Christiana?
My daughter Mercy doth long for something she hath seen in this house, and so strong is her desire that she fears she shall miscarry if she should be denied.
Mercy, what is that thing thou wouldst have? Be not shy, for it is our delight to give to pilgrims.
Not only our delight, but our Lord hath given us a charge to give as it has been given.
Sirs, what I have my longings for is the wonderful looking glass that hangs in the dining room.
The looking glass? She wants the looking glass.
The looking glass? Can you imagine?
Oh, forgive me, my lords. I knew that it was precious to you, and therefore was I hesitant to ask. You shall hear no more of it. I am sorry.
Nay, do not go. We are amazed, not at your audacity, but at your wisdom.
What?
Yea, of all treasures, this is the greatest that can be desired. Thou hast chosen wisely, and thou shalt have the desire of thine heart. Brother Sincere?
Yes, I'll fetch it.
Oh, thank you! By this I know that I have obtained favor in your eyes.
And so was the wonderful glass given to Mercy, and other gifts to her sisters. Then were they given a map to guide them through the enchanted land, and sent on their way rejoicing. Now they had not gone far when...
Greatheart, look! A man with his sword drawn and his face all bloody.
To arms, men. We know not if this be a friend or foe. Hey!
Hey thyself, friend or foe?
I am Greatheart, a conductor of pilgrims. And thou?
I am one whose name is Valiant for Truth.
Valiant for Truth? I have heard good things of thee. Art thou not a pilgrim?
I am.
Well, come, good fellow. We have here medicines and ointments most wonderful. Also, this good woman can apply them in a manner most skillful and gentle. Here, sit thee down, whilst thou tell us what befell thee here.
Aye, glad I am to rest.
Have we need to post a guard?
Nay, they shall not show their faces against anything near to even odds.
Here, dear Valiant, Let me remove thy helmet.
Thank you, madam. I am much obliged to you.
And now thy coat. I'm sorry. My, thou hast taken a nasty slice or two.
Ouch!
Oh, I'm sorry.
But I assure you that I gave out more than I took in.
What happened? Tell us thy tale, man.
Well, I was in the way here when these three scoundrels did beset me.
I'm sorry.
As I recall, the leader was one named Wildhead. 'Twas he who spoke first.
Ho, old man.
Greetings, in the name of the Lord of the Hill.
Did you hear, gents? Lord of the Hill. What do you think, inconsiderate? Is that jolly, or no?
Aye, and I trow that he knows not who we are, or he would have hit his colors better than that. Wouldn't you say, pragmatic?
Aye, very unpractical he was, very.
Who art thou? Why dost thou mock me so?
We ask the questions around here, old one.
Then ask.
I have three questions to put thee. First, wilt thou become one of us?
And the second?
Wilt thou return whence you came?
And the third?
Refusing to answer yes to one or two, wilt thou die where thou dost stand?
It comes to my mind that thou art renegades and thieves.
'Tis a practical profession in these parts, what with all so many pilgrims coming and going.
Cut the chatter. Wilt thou join us?
I have been an honest and true man for a long season, and therefore I could never consider becoming one like unto thee.
Not a very practical choice, my friend. Not a very practical choice at all.
Pragmatic.
What?
Thou talkest too much.
Inconsiderate be thy name, and so be thy manners. I have as much a right to talk as thou. Yea, from a practical point of view.
Silence! Now, Mr. Valiant for Truth.
How dost thou know my name? I have not told thee.
We have spies to tell us who cometh and who goeth, and whether easy of conquest or hard.
Then surely thou must have known that I would not join thee.
Aye, but being fair and just in our dealings, we at least put the question. Now, having refused to join us, wilt thou turn around and go back?
To whence I came?
And what else can going back mean, old fool?
Gentlemen, the place whence I came is totally unsuitable for one who would live eternally. I counted the cost when I departed thence, and I have not regretted my choice.
Then thou wilt not turn back?
I will keep to my present course as tightly as the needle to the pole.
Then thou art ready to surrender thy life upon the spot, art thou?
Not at any low price. Moreover, thou hast no authority to ask me such vile questions, and it is at risk to thy life that thou dost continue to meddle with me.
To arms, men.
Three against one, eh? That makes it nearly an equal battle, then. En garde! Ha! And so we fell to it, for the space of above 3 hours. I was holding my own for a time, but they were young, and I like not to think what another hour might have done. 'Tis good that they heard you coming.
Three against one. These are great odds.
Odd is true, but few or many are nothing to him that hath truth on his side. David saith, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident.
Ah, brave words these, and brave thou art.
No more than some of the great ones of Scripture. How many was it that Samson did slay with the jawbone of an ass?
1,000. But tell me, dear Valiant, why did you not cry out that someone might have come to your help?
So I did, to my king, who I knew could hear me and send invisible help. This he did, and that was enough for me.
Thou hast well done. I wish I could have had thy help against a couple of giants along the way.
I would have been happy to help thee. I was tempted to engage them myself, but had none to stand by me in prayer. So I prayed God to send someone better than I, which I see he did.
Valiant, may I see thy sword? If I am not mistaken, this is made of Jerusalem steel.
Aye, so it is. Give a brave man a blade such as this, and train him in its skillful use, and he may engage angels with it.
Indeed. I wish I had had it for Giant Despair. I had liked to have dulled my edge trying to kill that one.
Not so with a Jerusalem blade. It grows more sharp with every battle.
Indeed?
Aye. 'Tis quick and powerful, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit.
Ah, a fine, sharp, two-edged sword it is. Here.
Thank you.
But tell me, having fought for 3 hours, wast thou not weary?
I fought until it seemed as if a sword did grow out of my arm. And when I felt my own blood run through my fingers, why, 'twas then that I fought with the most courage.
Thou hast done well. Thou hast resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Thou shalt abide by us, for we are flesh of thy flesh and bone of thy bones.
Now, as they went on, Mr. Greatheart found that Valiant for Truth was a man of kindred spirit with himself. Therefore, because they were in company with some that were feeble and weak, he asked him many questions for their edification and encouragement.
Tell us, Valiant, from whence comest thou?
Oh, I am of Darkland, and there my father and mother are still.
Darkland, you say? Is not that place a short piece off from the City of Destruction?
Aye. Close enough to be destroyed by the same fires that will soon be loosed upon that city.
And how were you caused to come on pilgrimage?
Well, there came a man into our parts named Mr. Telltrue was his name. He was a traveling minstrel and a seller of fine silks and pearls, as I recall. And whenever he found that one was seeking true riches, he would sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. And if their heart was stirred, he would tell them about the pearl of great price and invite them to buy it without money and without price.
And did you buy?
Oh, yes. For he told us about one named Christian and how he did forsake home and country, wife and children, because of the love he bore for the King of the Hill. It did make our hearts burn within us to hear such love as that. But I must confess. I must confess that it made me weep to hear tell of his loved ones left behind. I've prayed for them that they might repent and join him on his pilgrimage. But I suppose that I shall not know if my prayers have been answered until I come to the kingdom myself. Alas, poor woman.
Wouldst thou know of the answer to thy prayers before that?
How can I?
By meeting one of my fine companions. Christiana?
Yes, Greatheart?
Christiana?
Tell this man how that the Lord hath heard his prayers.
Christiana? Christiana, was not Christian's wife named the same?
Aye.
But surely thou art not a... Art thou?
Aye, he is my husband.
Oh, blessed day, oh dear woman, God hath laid thee upon my heart since the day I heard tell of thee. Oh, blessed are my eyes to have seen this day. And thy young sons?
Not so young anymore. They have wives and children of their own.
Yes, but are they pilgrims? Are they pilgrims?
Look for thyself.
Oh.
This is Matthew, my eldest.
Pleased to meet you, sir.
And here are Samuel, Joseph, and James, his brothers. With them are their dear wives, Mercy, Phoebe, Grace, and Martha.
And these little ones?
They are Christian's grandchildren. And Mercy here is nigh on to bearing another any day now. I trow that thou shalt dandle him upon thy knees ere long.
Christiana. Christiana, it's too much for an old heart like mine. Oh, happy day.
You came in at the gate, I assume.
Oh, yes. For the same man told us that if we did not come in by the way, that we would be accounted as thieves and robbers, and would gain nothing but guilt and greater damnation for our troubles.
Aye, there is only one way to enter into eternal life, through Jesus Christ, my Lord.
By this time, they were got to the enchanted ground, where the air naturally tended to make one drowsy. And that place was all grown over with briars and thorns, excepting here and there, where was an enchanted arbor. Now some say that if ever man or maid sleeps in these arbors, they will never rise again in this life. Therefore were the pilgrims much on guard. Mr. Greatheart went before and cut a path through the briars and brambles. Mr. Valiant for Truth was the rear guard with his sword at the ready, lest peradventure some Amalekites should smite the feeble who were hindermost.
Strange, enchanted place this is. It makes one feel so peaceful and desirous of rest.
This is the most dangerous part of our journey. Watch and pray, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Oh, we shall.
Greatheart?
Aye?
What is all of this litter upon the ground?
That you shall know all too soon.
Now, they had not gone far, but that a great mist and darkness fell upon them all. So thick was it that they could scarce see one another. Wherefore, they were forced to find each other by sound, and for a time did walk by faith and not by sight. Now, one can imagine, without much effort, how hard the going was in this dangerous place. There was grunting and puffing and sighing from all. It was sorry going for the warriors, but oh, how much worse for the women and children, who were tender of feet and heart.
Ah, Christiana, will this gray soup never end?
Aye.
But when?
As the interpreter hath said, sooner than you think and later than you wish.
That is certainly true, for I think we will be here forever, and I wish we were out now.
As do I.
Grandma, is there no inn or resting place for pilgrims here?
Nay, child, none.
Ow!
What happened?
Oh, I tumbled over a bush or something. Oh, me. Oh, my.
What is it, Ellen?
Oh, I got my shoes stuck in this yucky, gucky mire. It came off my foot.
Here, Ellen. I'll help thee find it again.
Oh, help.
What is it, feeble mind?
I'm falling in the muck and cannot get out. To have come so far and to die here.
There shall none die here. Give me thy hand. Come. Out you come. Out you come.
Good. Out. But pray tell, dear heart, where is in, where is out? The mist is near as thick as the muck.
Lay hold on my coattail and follow on.
But I'm like to get hit by thy swinging sword.
I shall be careful.
Nay, but thou shalt forget that I'm here and take off my head.
Can a mother forget her sucking child? Nay, and no sooner shall I forget thee. Come, lay hold.
Oh.
Lay hold. Or I shall put thee before me.
Oh, me, oh, my.
Come, feeble mind, thou canst do it.
Oh, me, oh, my.
Come, come, feeble mind.
Mother, where are you?
Over here.
Where?
Here, give me thy hand, Christopher.
I cannot, for the bushes have grabbed a hold of me and will not let go.
Then I shall take thy hand for thee. Husband, come and help me.
Aye. Here we are, lad. Pull on hard now. That's a good boy. Come on now. Yeah, there.
Yuck, I hate this place.
Mama!
Christiana!
Be brave. This too shall pass away.
When?
Soon, if we give thanks. Or longer, if we grumble and must take time to repent. Come, let us sing together.
And so it was that by singing psalms and offering up praises that they kept their courage high and moved along well enough. Now, by and by, they came to a place where the trail split into several branches and Mr. Greatheart was put to a stand.
Which way to go?
Well, why not straight ahead? Though the fog be thick, it is clearly the cleanest way.
Aye, but there is something pricking my heart to have a look at our guidebook.
Truly, Great Heart, if thy heart feel the pricks, thou must not kick against them. Read in thy book, for it hath been a faithful guide thus far.
Well, is it straight on with us or no?
No.
What?
My map saith to go right.
But the right looketh so overgrown, and the path straight ahead looketh to be well traveled. Why, even these two paths to the left seem better than that.
We must not chart our course by the footprints of the many, but rather by the words of this book. Remember, the majority is always wrong. Come, to the right.
Great Heart.
Yes, Matthew.
Might we go a few yards down the trail well-traveled to see what lies ahead?
Nay, I cannot give thee leave.
But if thou tiest a rope about my waist, you can't...
Nay, there may be nets or traps or poisonous air. In any case, there is no time allowed for detours, and we dare not risk it. Fall into rank.
Yes, sir.
They went on then, in this enchanted ground, till they came to another arbor built by the highway side. And in that arbor there lay two men whose names were Heedless and Too Bold. These two, being wearied with their journey, had sat down to rest themselves and so fallen fast asleep.
Great Heart, look!
Aye.
Shall we wake them or go on?
If I were the one sleeping, I would want to be roused.
May we try, Great Heart?
You may try, only do not sit down with them, not even for a moment.
Friends, I say, friends, awake, thou sleepest on the enemy's turf.
Let me try. Hey, wake up. Wake up, I say. Come, come, open thine eyes. Wake up.
Be careful that you do not injure them.
Whatever injury we might inflict would not compare to what is coming upon them here. Wake up, lad.
What?
Wake up!
All right. I'll pay thee when I get paid myself. Now stop pounding me, or I'll box thine ears.
What is he talking about?
They sound to be drunk.
And so they are, with the... perfumes and spells of the enchanted forest. We cannot stay much... longer. Hey, you! Up and away for thy life!
I will fight so long as I can hold my sword in my hand. Back, knaves!
Oh, what is the meaning of this?
Now stop pounding me, or I'll box thine ears.
Back, knaves!
They talk in their sleep. If you strike them, or beat them, or tumble them unto the ground, they will answer you after this fashion.
What?
Are there many who are thus trapped?
Look over the back rail of this arbor.
What is it, Mother?
Bones. Bones on top of bones. A great hill of bones.
My Great Heart. I saw bones in the land of doubt, but there are as many here. Why?
These came on with neither map nor compass.
Were they not given one by the shepherds, even as we were?
Aye. But they soon grew weary of carrying it and tossed it aside.
Is that what we saw littering the ground near the beginning of this way?
Aye. And for every map strewn along the trail, there is at least one set of bones bleaching in the sun.
But we are so close to the promised land.
This is the last refuge for the enemy. 'Tis when men are almost home and basking in anticipated victory that they are most vulnerable to the wiles of the serpent.
Oh, how I hate him! Would that we could crush him beneath our heel.
It has already been done for us, and we are in no danger of the second death if we will live and move forward in our Lord's victory. But we must be out of here before we join these dead ones against our will.
Then the pilgrims desired, with added fear, to go forward. But they prayed their guide to strike a lamp, that they might go the rest of their way by its light. So he did. And their way was made some the easier. But by now the children had begun to be sorely weary. Yet did they not complain to their guardians, but rather prayed that he who loveth children might ease their way a little. Now they had not been praying long thus when a wind arose that drove away the fog. Thus was their way made easier, and the children's faith was much strengthened to see that the Lord of the hill hath an ear, even for the lambs of his flock. Now the path they trod did lead up a small hill from which they could look back upon the way they had traveled.
Mother, look! Down there is the arbor where the two fools are sleeping.
Indeed. But what is that white hill behind it?
I know not.
Greatheart?
Think, madam.
I cannot think of having passed any such hill as that. Surely we would have noticed it, even in the darkness of the fog.
Thou sawest but the foot of that hill.
The bones?
Aye.
That hill is made of bones?
Aye.
Oh my! This pilgrimage business is more dangerous than I knew.
'Tis a matter of life and death, and few there be that choose life. Shall we be on our way?
Yes, I am eager to be over this vile, enchanted place.
Ready?
Hmm.
Matthew, is something wrong?
Greatheart, come look through my spyglass. Here, over there. Is that where we stopped to read thy map?
Hmm, yes, I believe it is. Why?
Hmm. I was just looking at the well-traveled path that went straight ahead.
And?
Look for thyself.
Hmm. It appears to be a bog.
Aye. And looking carefully here and there, I saw, on its surface, hands sticking out of the mire.
Hmm. Yes, I see them too. And here and there, a hat or a kerchief floating. 'Tis a bottomless pit full of quicksand.
'Tis a miracle that we escaped it.
Aye, a miracle of grace. But here, take again thy spyglass and look.
For what?
For maps or guidebooks.
Hmm.
Seest thou any floating?
Nay. But why is this?
Because those who fall in these grounds have left their maps behind them. Those who have and use the book provided need not fall, though trials come and fears assail. Come.
Wait. Greatheart, I am sorry.
For what?
When thou didst forbid me to explore that way, I was angry at thee. I see now that I would have died in the attempt, and I ask thee to forgive me.
Thou art forgiven. Come, thy children are eager to be out of this enchanted place.
Aye, off with us.